You're such an asshole.
So we got a lengthy request, and I had to do a little bit of research, and the research proved to be that I'm like, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I'm like, can you, how long? It's from The Nutty Professor, where you just can't find the data you're looking for. All I wanted to search, all I wanted to know was, how long did divorced men live? That's how I started this research. Because they're like, you know, let me perk up my fucking ass, you know. What bullshit are you going to spew now, Karen? Married men live, well, shut the fuck up. Yeah, but divorced men don't. That was the whole thing. The logic where you don't need to, like, yeah, but what are divorced men? So you should just go up and marry those girls, not with the divorce rate. So I wanted to find out life expectancy divorced men. By God, you can't. You gotta search. And even then, like, what is it? Who's pushing them in there? Where the hell are they? You know, just simple questions. I want a number. How much less do divorced men live? Well, research studies suggest, research shows. Give me a number. Found the number. If you are married, you know, are you guys ready for how many more years you're going to live? If you give me the number I found. And by the way, if any of you would like to contribute counter evidence and give me the numbers that you find, because I'm not spending hours and days looking for numbers that should be readily available. One data point had two whole years. Well, shucks, howdy. 2 whole years. If you're married. And then another one, there was a chart. There was no difference. It was like never married, married, and then divorced. And the divorced guys, I think in that one, it was 5 years younger or died earlier. One data point said it was 13 years. But I had to impute that they just can't give you the fucking data. Research has shown that getting divorced they all agree it shortens your life expectancy. And they said as much as a heavy drinker or a smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I'm like, what is that in years? You fucking assholes can't find it. So I just went, okay, heavy smoking, heavy drinking, loss of life expectancy. Depending again on the study, one was like 10, another was 13. So divorce will lob off, let's just call it 10 years. Okay. Well, if you get married, here's the numbers. You want me to translate the numbers for you? Here's the numbers. Marriage is a proposition of a 50% chance, technically a little bit more, a 55% chance of you living an extra 2 years, or 45% chance of you dying a decade earlier. And there's another chart. I should find the chart. I got it linked. Not linked. I got it on my phone. There's another chart that shows no advantage whatsoever. This is looking in the past. We haven't even talked about what's going to happen to you poor schmucks getting married today. Boomers ain't even dead yet. They still got a little bit of time left on the clock. They could, hey, ladies, you can, silver device.
73's the new 41.
Go ahead. What was it? Bill Gates, Melinda Gates. Yeah, good going, Melinda. There you go. All right, so let me go through this guy's request. And because it's long and detailed and all that, we're going to answer one question at a time. I'm going to synopsisize his first half of the email to say he's an incredibly successful man, self-employed type, and he's looking to get married and have a wife. Anyway, here's my actual question to you. A lot of statistics say that men live shorter lives when they don't get married, but women actually don't have a change in life expectancy when they don't get married. That might be true. I did not find that data. I could see that. But I did find that women, again, they didn't give a number, but when women get divorced, they also die earlier. Not as much as men. They did percentages. They did say, they suffer from higher cardiac problems. And that's like, how long? Part of me is skeptical, since if the reverse finding was empirically found, I don't think it would be published. Again, not a conspiracy theorist, but yeah, it's interesting how you can't find data. I'm surprised I found the data on the Department of Labor that show what men and women did for a living in the United States by percentages. I'm surprised they haven't taken, because it's just glaring proof women simply don't work as much or as hard in fields that matter as men. It's just glaring evidence that is contrary to the narrative they want to push. part of it, but fine. I'm sure if you wanted to dig or pull it up on JSTOR, you could probably find it. But logic would say if women got divorced, they it's not good for you health wise. But I don't know. Women really aren't that interested in guys. I think if they never got married, they'd be okay. I don't think there'd be a change in life expectancy. but I'm sure there's some truth to it. Bachelors are more likely to drink and smoke in excess, for example, correct? But I wonder how much you'd attribute declines in life expectancy to the different causes. There's a commingling factor. Generally speaking, if you get married, that means you're probably more responsible. If you stay married, it means you're more responsible. And if you're irresponsible, you know, like you're who-dang-diggly-do-dang-diggly in Wyoming or something like that, you're irresponsible. And so it's not a shock that irresponsible people get divorced more and also have bad behaviors and poor decision-making skills compared to people who are mature enough to stay married. And so someone who drinks and smokes and doesn't take care of themselves and is fat, surprise, your wife divorces you. There's a selection bias. You already are prone to making poorer health decisions, which would also lower your life expectancy. So you're already skewed to make bad decisions and live less if you weren't cut out for marriage because you like the maturity and the responsibility. And then I would say on top of it, which the divorce statistic where it's, it lops off basically a decade of your life, I'm like, well, then there's an emotional component there too, a psychological component. So divorce is bad on top of that in either case. So let me get back to your thing. But I wonder how much you'd attribute declines in life expectancy to different causes. There, I don't know. If we had Fred the Actuary, he could kind of break that down. But given the one study that, well, there are a couple studies, but one is like, yeah, this is like being a heavy drinker or a smoker. That really walloped it down. I'd ballpark it at 75%, the actual act of divorce and the stress and all that comes with it, which also can lead you to engage in self-destructive behaviors. And then you being stupid and immature and predisposed to already making bad decisions, which means you were going to get divorced anyway, I'd say that's 25%. That's a rough ballpark. I could be way off, but the data that we came up with that I was seeing, it's such a shock to the system that I would think it's mostly the fact you got divorced, and to a lesser extent, but not insignificant, that you got divorced because you made bad choices, including health choices. I mean, how many guys, let's go through a classic example, like which probably happens to the majority of marriages in the United States. Wife gets fat because, right, ladies, you know, my God, fuck the guy, right? Oh, food, nom, 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 nom. The nomsies. She gets fat. He gets depressed because men need sex. He ends up getting fat, makes it a depressed, sad lifestyle. You end up filing for a divorce. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. I think what kind of the idea was a slogan. It's called Skinny Wives Save Lives. But I'm sure if I went and pulled the data, I could write a nice little short book about it, where like thin, healthy people would lower divorce, increase life expectancy, give people a reason to live. But right, I know, you're not going to live no man. What did that entire generation, that entire group of humans that just went extinct, what was it? They did this thing. We archaeologists in the year 3500, we can't figure out what that meant. But they all went extinct. Little head thing too. They're highly educated as well. Didn't need no. I don't know what that meant. Someone translate. If almost all this is sampling bias, i.e. married men marry partly because they have their life together more on average than the other group. Historical bias example, to conduct a longevity study, you need sample older men who had a different sample of women than we do today. Yes. So we're so far agreeing on that. You bring up a third variable, and that is all marriage and debt and divorce statistics. They're very hard to pin down, because what if you were married until you were in the 80s and all your polling that would have been a successful marriage, and then at the last minute, bottom of the ninth, you get divorced? Well, that now got to throw for all the past, whatever, 60 years they were married. So it's really a moving target and hard to pin down. But I would say, now that the World War II generation is pretty much dead and widowed, if any are still alive, and now the boomers are starting to go into it, you're going to start to see, I would predict, because the boomers were the first ones to, you know, slay their children, to send their children to Moloch and burn them on the altar of divorce. You're going to start to see what small advantage to marriage there was. I think you'd start to see that edge away. I think there will be no premium for life expectancy for men anyway. I don't know about women. I think that premium will go away. Again, that other chart suggested there was no premium. And I would, because marriage, you girls just don't, we're in a new world. You girls don't need men. You don't want men. And if you're going to take a guy, you're like, no, I'll change it. You get divorced. It's horrible for everyone. And I think that as less than most people are getting married, I think the single men, depending on how much the red pill self-improvement message gets out there, I think, no, now I think about it, no. I think at best it'll close the gap. It won't surpass married men. And the reason I'll say is very simple. I keep thinking my team, my crew. For every one of those, there's going to be some kid who gets fat. Obesity is going to make that not happen. I think single men who are the incel variety, who live at home, they listen to Vaush, they believe in socialism, and I'm a sad sack of shit, and I got a mental disorder I don't really have, but UBI, AI, give me free shit, Andrew Yang, you know, that group, with the pot smoking and both legal and illegal drugs, those guys, they don't work out. Yeah, yeah, when you factor in that the military now has to have pre-basic training to eliminate stress fractures, because the recruits will break bones through basic training. Yeah, I don't think the single men. Yeah, I don't think single men will surpass it. Divorced men, I still think will essentially live a decade shorter. but I believe the gap will close a little. Maybe not on parity with each other, but I think it will close a little, as the divorce statistics no longer account for the World War II generation or Silent Generation. And now you got people who, like, God almighty, that Moloch statue, really, you know, the Moloch statue, they got one in California, and all the boomers went off there and jerked off to it. Man, they got to clean that full of boomer cum all the time. It's just, and now it's X or cum. Don't worry, you millennials are going to get divorced too. It's just so tiring. Man, there's not a water deficit out there in California. You got to wash it off all the time. I'm sure the divorce statistics will, that will be baked into it. And you're going to start to see life expectancy close the gap. And I think women, here's another thing though, not married or so, but the life expectancy gap between men and women, which is about 4 years, that's closing. But that's because women are having to start work for a living, or they ask for it. But yeah, there's a lot less stable men. There's a lot less stable marriages, and girls don't need no. And then they go and, oh, how is that working 60 hours a week and commuting? Oh no, you got this. You got this, girl. Don't need no. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, don't make a man happy, okay? Don't settle for a man. If almost all, but I wonder how much you attribute declines to life expectancy to different causes. If almost all of this is sampling bias, example, married men marry partly because they have their life together. That is a factor. More than average of the other group. Historical bias, example, to conduct a longevity study, you need to sample older men who had a different sample of women than we do today. Let's call it the World War II generation effect. And clearly poor lifestyle choices, like smoking, drinking, I see obesity, eating, and inactivity, no exercise. That would be for the younger people. Then there's nothing to worry about. But there's also some truth to the concept that the relationships in your life are the most powerful predictors of well-being. And the famous George Valiant longitudinal study of men, the finding was the love was that love was the most powerful predictor of well-being after the avoidance of excessive drinking and smoking. Moreover, apparently one of the most powerful predictors of heart attack survival for men is the question, does your wife love you? Which seems correct to me. Yes. Now, I didn't look up the study, but surprise, if your wife isn't a weapons-grade bitch, you might live longer. It's one of those, do we really need a study for this? Like that there was that Chinese company, and it hired cute girls just to, they were a programming firm. So you got these nerdy Asian dudes and they're programming. And all they did was have cute, nicely dressed young ladies come in and just see how the guys were doing, talk to them, treated them nice, gave like tea or something. I think productivity shot up like 50%. Shocking, I know. Men are the engines of economic growth and women are the fuel they run on. But we don't want to be fuel. I hope you like eating rocks. Dirt cookies for everyone, I guess. But imagine that. If your wife loves you, you might work a little bit more and live a little bit longer. I'll tell you, I guarantee you this data doesn't exist. I would love to see longevity of men whose wives were thin and in shape and not obese and were having sex regularly versus men whose wives might have been in shape but no sex or not sex regularly and fat wives who the fuck wants to fuck them. And I'm being deadly. You show me that. You show me that. Skinny wives save lives. Another way of framing this question is much of your content presumes that much of why men pursue women is due to biological desire for sex rather than say biological need for sex or biological need for physical touch and in-person companionship. And this is why men ignore the fact that women increasingly are not worth pursuing, at least not actively. I see it would blind them. I think their sex drive blinds them. In your words, an addiction to pussy can ruin your life because it can lead you to not just walk away when really a relationship doesn't benefit you. Correct. I would say more modernly today, I don't know how we'd measure it, but I think women just don't want to get married. If we look at that polling data, the increase in divorce rates, not nominal, that's going down because people just aren't getting married. both men and women getting fat and overweight. So you prefer food and sloth over love and sex and marriage. That's a fact. That's a choice you all made with your behavior. I don't care what you say otherwise. Until I see thinner people, I'm not going to believe it. Relationships are increasingly a losing proposition. Yes. But what if it is a biological need and without it, we're likely to live worse or shorter lives? I do think on balance, the ROI is quite low. Also, I find it amusing that the same research doesn't seem to include the women live much shorter lives when unmarried, although they will say there's still some effect. So let me read this again. And this is why men ignore the fact women are because they're not worth pursuing, at least not actively in your words. An addiction to pussy can ruin your life because it can lead you to not just walk away in a relationship, but if it's a biological need and without it, we're likely to live shorter, worse or shorter lives. So what you're presenting is male's biology, which is in the past, being introduced to a new reality in the world where women are just not that interested in men, and therefore marriage is not going to be as rewarding or fun or good for men's health. And that's what I think the environment we're going into now. Women just don't want to get married that much. Women are not marriage material, generally speaking, at least in a traditional sense. However, that doesn't change men's programming and what I think men will do, because they're men and obviously want sex and historically want to get married, probably have some kids. That will push them into it, that the 18, 19-year-old kid doesn't know jack shit. He's dumb. Men would still pursue it. And their instincts would, you would make the part argument, it's because not only do they want to have sex and all, but they would live longer and arguably happier lives, but they are unaware that the environment has changed, that a relationship in many instances is going to be worse for their health. So your instinct is not sentient. It doesn't have to, wait a minute, hang on now. That's bad. However, your frontal cortex is sentient. And if you're like any young man alive today, you've seen at least two relatives get divorced, maybe most likely your father. Oh, by the way, There is a study. Children of divorce live 5 years less. They had the data for that. They don't tell you how less your dad's going to live. But children of divorce, 5 years off your clock. So your blind instinct is compelling men to go and chase girls. However, I think men are changing, but there's a lot less marriage going on. Men see, look, you can't have three generations of divorce and a war where one sex is telling we don't need you. You can't have that pounded into people's heads, or men's heads in this case, and have them not like, okay, wait, no. Now I remember my parents getting divorced. Now I remember being poor, whatever, sleeping on the floor. Now it ain't happening. It ain't happening. And then, in spite of their genetics, are making conscious, intelligent decisions with new information and the new interest or lack of interest women have in men. And so I think men are adapting and adjusting, but it doesn't turn off the genetics. And so you could argue genetically, biologically, I want to make sure we're not run out. Good. A happy relationship would make men live longer. But absent that, what we are looking at is, no, there's no happy relationship, so you're not going to get the advantage of longer life expectancy if you got into a relationship. However, if a bad relationship, particularly if it ends in divorce, lowers your life expectancy even more than being single and living a mere 2 years less than the average married man, when given those data and statistics and propositions, I think, again, when we have data and statistics, we got the internet. Now that bit of information goes like, yeah, you may just want to just be single, and you're not going to live longer. You're not going to get that 2 year premium, but that really wasn't on the table anyway. So now we have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Do you want to get in a relationship and have your life expectancy shot down by arguably 10% in the case of divorce, or do you just want to remain single? And it sucks, like 90, but half the emails I get, the requests are about, like, I'd like to get married, but God almighty, I can't, you know, this is not good for me. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, but that's your old school biology talking. And I'm telling you the real world again. I'm like, look, buddy, they're out there. They're rare. They're out there. And get them if you can, but otherwise you're going to have to go over to a traditional culture, frankly. And even that has problems. It wasn't the internet. My computer just freaked out. And for once, this wasn't, sorry about that, guys. Hang on. I got to pull up the email now. My computer. It was the weirdest shutdown. Hey, if it is the government, fuck you. Change everyone else's behaviors. People are sick of this shit. Again, not a big, all right, let me go back to this email. Somebody fucked up their job. I don't believe it's the government. It's not Cox. For once, it's not Cox AD16. It ain't. Let's go back. Just when you're on a roll. Maybe I'll do better in South Korea. Okay, here we go. Okay, so, but what if it is a biological need and without it, you're likely to live worse, a shorter lives? You would still live a better life than entering a relationship that is bad for you. That's the short version. I think that's what the stage we're at now. Again, the right girl can make all the difference. You show me a man who's had a hot, svelte wife her entire life who sucked his dick. I'm going to see you guys going to make it past 80. I'm curious about your opinion on how men can essentially replace the void of what is missing and what appears to likely be a fundamental need. So to answer your question shortly, I wrote that book called The Menu, Life Without the Opposite Sex. And look, this isn't my opinion, okay? The bigger people at Wall Street, they forecasted that half the girls aren't going to get married by 2030, which is coming up pretty soon. And so half of the guys aren't going to be. So you're going to have to figure out something to do without the opposite sex. So this is not a politically incorrect statement. This is not a controversial thing. It's a fact. Right? So I came up with a book, Life Without the Opposite Sex. You could, How can men essentially replace the void? You got to live your life the best you can. And that's why I came up with the menu. Sir, there's no steak on the menu, but we got some chicken. We got a great fish dish. We got some great pasta. We got some gnocchi. What do you want? There's no reason to leave the restaurant and end it early when you can try everything on the menu. And in some ways, it's kind of liberating. Like, look, do you know how much time and money you spend chasing girls and raising a family? Do you know you could achieve in other endeavors? And I'll be the first man. No, you'd rather have a nice wife and kids. I don't want kids. But yeah, you want to have a nice, loving. I get it. But that's not it. We don't get that choice now. So there's a lot of other things you can do. It's in the menu. I'm not going to go over it here. My last question is, how do you get around the almost epistemological problem that we can't really prove that all women are such and such a way? What the hell? Epistemological? Jesus, what the hell is that? Epistemological. Relate to the theory of knowledge, especially in regards to its methods, validity, and scope, and the distinction between justified belief and opinion. How do you get around the almost epistemological that we can't really prove that all women are such and such a way? When I tell people that, hey, I have a large sample size here, actually, and my findings that they are essentially mostly this way, they universally will tell me, well, not, dude, the tall Asian argument. Oh, yeah. No, that, you ignore those people. Those people they lack what's called intellectual honesty. Like, I don't argue with people who are not going to be intellectually honest. You know, I make the statement, there's not a lot of Asians in the NBA because Asians are short. And some low IQ fucking idiot will cut. I know a tall Asian, or I think the Yang guy, he's actually very tall. And you're dealing with someone who is either truly stupid and can't get the concept of general, or you have an ideologue who has no intellectual honesty, is actually quite evil, is trying to make a point because they want to live in a disreality and somehow extract the resources out of you. And so when you say, I've dated over 100 women, and generally this is what I've found. Girls, well, I know a family, and I know it's like, look, you want to, in that case, as you're pertaining with the war of the sexes, they just want to keep excusing their bad behavior, which then requires you to understand the concept of, what the hell is it called? The perfect mental state, which isn't necessarily evil or bad. It's just that the perfect mental state is that, above all else, he said, what do women want? Women want the perfect mental state. They want to believe what they want to believe, and they will not tolerate anything they don't want to believe or that would otherwise indicate that what they believe is not possible or true. In other words, they'd rather live in the lie than give up on their dream that is a falsehood. So when you say your prince is not coming because you're overweight, you have some other man's kid, super hypersonic read. No, my, and they would rather die or not die. They would, well, that too. They would rather live a life not worth living that is not based in reality with no progress or success than that. And so they will, in order to protect they will not suffer pain. Don't you dare tell something because they do not want to hear it. It causes pain, right? They will immediately reach for any argument, no matter how pointless, stupid, frail, irrelevant. Well, I know someone. It's kind of like the lottery a lot. And this, men are guilty of this too. A lot of people choose their college degree thinking that they're going to win the lottery and they're going to be the one to make $250,000 a year with a journalism degree. They're going to go into political science and they're going to be the one to be elected into Congress. Well, political science majors are like that. And you say, well, yeah, but look at Ocasio-Cortez. She got in. Like, okay, never mind. We're done here. So I wouldn't even argue with these people. You're too high IQ. I didn't go over your back. You're too high IQ to argue with these idiots. Just let them lose that life. Oh, yeah. Fat women typically don't get. Well, I have a friend, and she's happily good for. Yeah, you know what? Here's some extra donuts. You're right. Here's some extra food. You go, girl. Slay queen. Well, not all women are this way. If you keep looking, you'll find one. No. Go get my book, The Book of Numbers, Analyzing the ROI and the Pursuit of Women, and you will see exactly what type of caliber and quality of women are out there for marriage. I'm not saying in other things. There's plenty of good women out there for other things, but marriage is not one of them. My answer to this is that the search cost is too high because the cost of observing whether they are or not, that takes months and a lot of resources for an individual person. But in addition to that, a lifelong commitment to many things I otherwise wouldn't want, such as an expensive apartment of furniture, which only got for the female gaze at their own request. This ends up essentially meaning that I don't need to believe that the probability of this belief being true is high for me to conclude it is not worth it for me, a very negative expected value. You're right. Expected rate of return, there's a percent chance that you're going to get this rate of return. You're factoring that in. And I agree with your logic and your reasoning. Now, I don't think men should completely give up on their pursuit of women, but they have to be much more intelligent about it, which is why I also have the Book of Numbers analyze the ROI of the pursuit of women. I just don't write a book and give you the statistics and say, you're fucked. I then go back and look at the statistics and reverse engineer a very good and effective strategy. And I'll tell you right now, just ask out more girls. That's the number one thing you can do. But you're not wrong. You got to go on dates with them. You got to tolerate them. You got to listen to dumbass shit. You got to suss them out. Well, who was it? Oh, a buddy of mine, hiking buddy. He dated this girl for a month. And then accidentally, she let it slip that she had a kid. He's like, what? I get it, man. I get it. I'm curious to hear what you have to say, and I appreciate your content. The pieces about bachelor pad economics and the true opportunity cost of unquestioned pursuit of women are novel and genuinely thought-provoking. It is the most important economic decision facing men right now. Do you spend traditional amounts of time and effort pursuing women, or do you acknowledge that they have a fraction of the interest that they used to, and you change your tactics and strategy accordingly, so you essentially don't waste your life, both financially, chronologically, and psychologically. It was something that I always felt but never had been able to put in the words of someone, or some fancy charts. You got to admit some of those charts in the... Well, you read Bachelor Pad Economics. I'm talking the Book of Numbers. I really look forward to hearing back from you. Kind regards, keep you anonymous. Yep, so there you go. Simplifying all of this, women are no longer as interested in men as they used to be. That is not something men control, and you need to adapt to that new reality. You do not have the luxury, well, technically neither do women, to have the perfect mental state living in delusion that, no, someday my princess will come. No, because you have way too much riding on this. You could go and have a great career. You could go and travel. You could go and find some great friends. You could be a playboy, have a sex with a bunch of girls. And culturally speaking, go overseas, maybe find a wife there. But your genetics and biology is going to compel you to pursue women. And you look at divorce rates, and people always focus on divorce rates. You should look at happiness marriage rates. That's the real killer. I didn't set out this way. I just had an intellectual economics interest in it, but we're really kind of saving men's lives. Not that you're facing an actual biological death, but you guys are facing, because your genetics and sex drive, you're all at a very high risk of wasting your life. And I think many of you have fathers or uncles or somebody you know who did the same thing. And so that's what we're doing here. So link below, the Book of Numbers analyze the ROI and the pursuit of women. So you know the data and the statistics if you want to see what this guy's talking about with a little bit more charty goodness. And then also, what was the other one? The menu, Life Without the Opposite Sex. If you what do we do? It's a very important existential question. Yeah, this is what you do. Let's go to the super chats. We've got a couple here. Nonstop Dre in Thailand now. Married men die quicker because they want to. Now, another thing we didn't talk about. When you are married, your wives typically are more on top of health than not. They will nag and hound you, and they should, for you to go in and get your blood work done and all that. That, I think, is a huge explanation. I think that accounts for the majority of the life expectancy gap, where it's not necessarily you're happier with this woman. It's just that she forced you to go to the doctor, and they found you got high cholesterol. But you men should be on top of that. You gotta, like, you know, they're like, oh my God, he didn't know how to do the dishes. You know, it'd be great is if you all, like, we close the living gap by making good, healthy choices, which you should do anyway. You get annual blood work, get your colonoscopies. You want doctors shoving their finger up your ass as much as Vince wants other men, gent randos, shoving their fingers up his ass on the street. All right. Just that's what you should do. And I wonder if men just took their health a little bit more seriously, if single men would just close that gap on that alone. My truth, the king. $2. Y'all need to man up and marry those girl bosses. Yeah, no. Maybe we don't need historical data and statistics. You just know marrying these girl bosses and feminists and leftist types. And that's not because Democrat policies. It's just that you girls have gods and priorities that are not men. I just wish you'd be honest about it. And sometimes they are in polling, but don't get married. I mean, really, girls, don't get married if you don't want to put the guys number one. And many girls are honest about that. But I'm just trying to get you guys like, yeah. Yeah, you don't need to get married. Yeah. History shows that women used to be interested in men. The era of progressivism and feminism changed how women in society treated men. Maybe I would say it's more the Industrial Revolution and the welfare state. Because I don't think women were that interested in men. I think they just needed men to survive. And where I am kind of like indifferent, like, well, I don't want you really kind of think about it. Like, if you girls never liked men that much to begin with, God, that must have sucked for all those women in the past. You know, you don't want, okay, fine, bye. Well, bye. Because there's nothing worse than wasting your life trying to cajole or pull tooth a girl to go out. Like, oh, forget this. I don't have time. I roll, therefore I am. $20. Married men live longer. I don't know how many times I've heard that trope. Fuck that. I'm with Pop on the 65 and out plan. Your Smith & Wesson retirement plan is very similar. Getting old has no appeal to me. I don't know. My old man went hiking. You can make old fun. Fun. Old gets fun. I don't want to go be old. What's wrong with that? Stay in physical shape. Yeah, and I believe numerically, yes. I'm sure the people you polled, married men did live longer. But I think that's going away. That's definitely going to go. But I can tell you this for a fact, without a researcher, the knowing had the exact study. Divorced men live shorter than all you combine. A lot. Nonstop Dre, $5. How would you find out statistically how much the male population in a nation truly values freedom? TFM said only men actually. Who votes Republican? Generally speaking. Start there. Are you a lazy sack of shit, want security, and are willing to enslave other people to make sure you don't have to work for a living so you have that security? Vote Democrat. Are you like, fuck off, I'm not asking you for anything, leave me alone, and I'm going to support myself and last nothing? Vote Republican. There you go. There's your answer. Or Labor versus Tory, whatever all the different countries have. Ken Rose, $2. This is why none of you trust Democrat men. Like, they're all just like, what? Hat and clogs, $2. Cappy saying anything anti-government is terror. Yeah, it was a little weird that my computer just shut down like that. Might be a little warm in here. Hat and clogs, $2. Playing or liking video games is terrorism. Is it? What, I don't know. Is that something going on in the news? I don't care. Wisdom Vision Productions, $5. Go on dates with women or become a hell diver and spread managed democracy for super Earth. Down with space bugs and those filthy metal clinkers. I'm gonna have to get Hell Diver and when I get home. Game musings with Raziel. Well, 20 generous dollars. Thanks there, Raziel. By the way, if you have a channel, if you guys have, like, subscribe to Raziel. It looks like you got a channel. And for $20, I'll whore you out. Hell yeah. I'm 41, divorced after a 9-year marriage with a bipolar woman. Well, that's what she said. My health has improved so much since then. Yeah. Yes, I'm sure it has. I bet. People think I look late 20s, early 30s. All my married friends are miserable, rapidly aging slaves. That's what I'm seeing. You're a little younger than me, but not by much. You're the generation. I'd say the millennials are, and Gen X, but definitely the millennials. That's where this marriage premium of life expectancy is going to go away. I just don't see it. Holy shit. Edward Patton. Did you hit too many zeros? 100 generous dollars. I've learned a lot from your videos over the course of the past 3 years, including a lot of your books. Thank you for your words, Cap. No problem, Ed. Thanks for the $100. You didn't have to do that. I mean, unless you're like rich and you felt like, yeah, you got no heirs, but you look younger than me. It's a another thing for you guys out there. With all this marriage going down, just because I have to look at it. If you don't have kids, you got to get a will and testament together. Otherwise, it's just going to go to the state. It's just going to go to welfare. It's just going to go to single moms and kids that aren't yours. You're gonna be a cuck posthumously. The posthumous cuck. That is a great, the posthumous cuck. So make sure it goes to some nieces or nephews that you love, or maybe a nonprofit that you really like. Don't become the posthumous. Is that how you spell it? It's U.S. Is that posthumous? Posthumous cuck. That's going to make, that's a good one. That's some good financial advice. But thank you very much, Ed. I really appreciate it. All right, that's it. All right, questions, answers, assholeconsulting.com. The book's link below. We'll see you guys later. Toodles.
All right, Sonny. Just you listen to Boomer, great one. He's going to tell you about how it was back in the olden days, back before fire, back when we walked uphill for everything. In fact, we didn't even have a concept of downhill because there was no downhill. Everything was uphill. We thought that was normal. We didn't even have a word for it because there was no alternative. It was uphill all the time. You just need to reach down and grab yourselves by your bootstraps and pull yourselves up, Sonny. Because when I was your age, I bought a house for $25,000. And I made that money on my paper route and bussing tables at the local cafe. And if I could do it, you can do it too. You just need to reach down and pull yourself up and just buckle up. Buckle up there, buckaroo. God, I hate boomers.
All right, so in theory, this will be quick. I was doing research for something else, and I came across this article. And the article is written by actually a very accomplished author. Her name is Leslie Vernick. And it's a lengthy article. I'm just going to read the whole thing. Well, maybe it's not lengthy. The comments go. I'm just going to read it, and I'm not going to shoot it as we go along. I'm just going to read them, make my observation, then I'm going to go on, get on with my day. The title is, Do I Have to Wear Sexy Clothes to Meet My Husband's Needs? Morning, friends. I survived pickleball camp, 4 days of intensive training, broke some bad habits, and still some new ones. Yet now I'm back. I have more work to do. I have to drill and practice in order for my new habits to become a consistent part of my game. In the same way, real change in any area of our life doesn't just happen because we wanted to. Even when we see what we're doing wrong, to change it requires consistent, intentional action steps and often coaching and accountability. Whoa, the A word. We have just a few stops left, blah, blah, blah. Okay, she promotes her coaching and all that other stuff. Question. This is from a reader or a writer. My husband of 15 years and I have had many, many arguments. I said I wasn't going to interject. I'm like, well, there's the done. Just done. Done. My husband of 15 years and I have had many, many arguments about what I should wear in general and during sex. When I am vacuuming or doing dishes, he will often come over and lift my shirt. When I'm wearing leggings or workout pants so you can see my butt, I tell him I don't like this, but he thinks I'm ridiculous and that I don't understand his needs. He says he doesn't look at other women's butts, etc. This past time, his response was, well, then look like a butch and expect me to be okay with it. He's called off plans because I changed my clothes and didn't wear the tights or leggings I had tried on earlier. In the past, we've had arguments, huge blowups because I don't want to wear slutty clothes during sex, would rather wear a cute teddy nighty dress. He says it's all about me and I'm not meeting his needs. I'm so frustrated with not knowing what to do. If I put on the clothes, I feel stupid, so then I'm not into sex, and he gets mad. But if I stand up and say, these things make me feel stupid, he gets mad. I want to meet my husband's needs, but I'm being selfish. I don't like to dress girly, but I'm definitely not butchy. Answer. This is the authoritative answer. There's no gray about it. Leslie's going to give us the answer. This is an important question because so many women silently suffer from this kind of pressure and control from their husbands. It might be about their dress, their hairstyle, even being pressured to having surgical enhancements to their breasts or butt in order to create a visual the husband wants. A husband might pressure his wife to participate in sexual practices she doesn't like or want, and if she resists or refuses, she's told she's wrong, unloving, prudish, or unsubmissive, especially if she's a Christian wife. I believe she's a
Christian or Christian adjacent author. First, let's get something crystal clear. Your husband does not need you to look a certain way. He may like you to dress in a certain way, but it is not a true need. He will not die or shrivel up if he can't look at your butt when he wants, or if you don't dress the way he prefers when you go out together. Please take that pressure off yourself. But the bigger question is, does he have a biblical right or authority to tell you how to dress and punish you if you refuse to comply? The answer is no. I get it. Men are visual, and we all have preferences about what looks good to us and what turns us on. It is not wrong for your husband to share with you what he'd like you to wear in the bedroom or when going out together. Just like it would be not be wrong for him to say, I love sushi and I'd like to go for sushi tonight. The problem is not in his desire or his request. The problem happens when you refuse to comply. Then you are called selfish and there's a blow up in an argument. It seems you are not allowed to have your no. It is disregarded, demeaned, and devalued. You are the wife whose sole purpose is to meet his need, however he defines it. You're not a person in your own skin who has her own likes and dislikes, her own style and preferences. You are to be what he wants you to be. That is suffocating and soul destroying to you. It is not the mark of a healthy marriage. You said you want to meet his needs. Let's call it his desire, because you've already established it is not a need. How might you do that in a way that doesn't feel inauthentic to you, to who you are and how you feel? To succeed in doing that, there are two main issues you must tackle if you want to move through this problem in a positive way. First, you have to stop allowing him to make you feel guilty or saying what you do and do not like. You have to give yourself permission to be you, even if it disappoints him. Even as a wife, you are called to be a God-centered woman, not a husband-centered woman. You are not selfish by saying to him what you like and what you don't like. Let's go back to the sushi example. If he loves sushi and you hated it, what's next? Are you forced to eat sushi because he likes it? Are you allowed to not like it without being selfish or bad? Is there a compromise so that you could go out to eat someplace where he gets to eat sushi and you can also have a meal you like? Or is the only solution for you to pretend you like sushi so that he gets exactly what he wants? Doing your own work here will help you not be so easily intimidated or bullied by a man who believes you should like what he likes. It will help you speak up and stand up to his selfishness and objectifying behavior in a godly way. God wants you to be you. He made you to be you, not him. Your main goal is not to please your husband, but to please God by being who God made you to be, not who your husband wants you to be. The second issue that must be addressed is your husband's inability to handle your no without punishing you. You said that he will call off your plans when you don't dress the way he wants you to. He tells you it's all about you, but I believe that's a projection. It's all about him, what he wants, what he needs, what he feels. And even when you've tried to dress as he wants, you feel slutty and uncomfortable, not sexy. It gets mad because you don't feel the way he wants you to be free. He wants you to feel. A wise and godly husband wants his wife to feel comfortable and safe in the bedroom, not scared and dirty. Marriage, especially the sexual relationship, is all about safety. If there is no safety, there can be no intimacy. If there could be sex, but it's not mutual, loving, or connected sex, is greedy sex, which Paul strongly speaks about in Ephesians 5, where he writes, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. It seems stories, foolish talks, and coarse jokes, those are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. I love Jesus in the bedroom. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, Christ, and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Scrolling down. Just because a man is married doesn't entitle him to objectify or misuse the precious gift God has given him. It sounds as if your husband's view of sex is more worldly than godly. You can't change the view, but don't let him infect you with it. Sex is an expression of love, safety, and commitment. Love does not demand its own way. It's not selfish. From what you wrote, you're willing to compromise to see if there could be a middle ground here. In order to have mutually enjoyable sexual time, however, it sounds as if it's his way or the highway. Who do you think is being selfish here? Stop defending your right to be you. Stand firm, yet loving, fighting for a healthy marriage in every way. Here's my question. I'm not even going to go into, does this sound like anything you want to be a part of? Does this sound like fun or sex? Remove the religious connotations for a second. Does this sound fun at all? Does this super happy fun sex time? Do you want to deal with this bullshit? And what I want to do, I know we had the Clary relationship test. It was kind of somewhat of a farcical test, but Not really too farcical. I think it, you know, it would help. Compatibility test. And one of the questions in there was, does she like wearing lingerie? And it's not necessarily an issue or a question about the lingerie. It's more of a question is she going to, do you guys like the same thing? Like, are you going to have kids? You know, a better question, a more pointed question is, does she like to have sex? And is she going to sexually satisfy you? Like, yep, let's do a baby. Like, because you've hopefully you're lucky enough to have met a girl like that. I strongly recommend you maybe look on to holding on to girls like that, where, you know, like, you know, the type, like the go to a strip club. What do you think about that girl? Oh, you like her dress? Okay, I'm going to get that. Or they just like, you walk in and there she is. You didn't have to ask. You didn't have to say, hey, don't you think we, they just do it. They're just like, hi. And I'm not a big relationship expert, but what little things I've figured out through my many and varied failings majority, which is most everyone's dating experience, most of your dating experience are failures. Otherwise you would have been married once. You just avoid this argument. The girl is either going to put on lingerie willingly without you having to ask and has fun and is joyful about it, you know, ride or die or not. And I, as I've gotten older and I've talked to the boomer men who claim to have great wisdom and advice, which they didn't. And even my gender guys, I'm looking at like, oh yeah, sexless. The idea when you're young, thinking like, a sexless marriage, what the fuck is the point of getting married then? Guys, women are just not that interested in sex as you are. They just aren't. They aren't as interested in men as you are them. And since sex is probably the number one thing, not the only thing, just like wings, I would imagine, are the number one thing on a plane. We probably need an engine and a stabilizer. This cannot be negotiable. This can't, the idea, but everyone, they're married. This failed, pointless marriage is in existence. This is a real thing. And it's much more common where you are negotiating over sex. And I just look at this and it's just to show you a bit of intellectual honesty. The guy wants to wear slutty clothing. Girls, sit down. Every guy wants you to wear slutty clothing. And look at, instead of just loving your husband enough, like, I don't like it, but he does. You know, I'll switch, show you around. Obviously, I don't care how I dress. I don't care about fashion. I go to Goodwill. I buy the pair of jeans that you got to be at Goodwill. You got to be make sure the zipper works on the jeans. A lot of jeans, they don't have a zipper. It doesn't work. No wonder they sold it for so cheap. I just buy the crappy clothes that don't have, you know, dog urine stains. Okay, I'm presentable in public. But when it comes to going out or nicer clothes, I outsource it to my girlfriend. Haircut, my entire physique presentation, especially if we're going to go out in public. What do you want, babe? I don't care. Because I'm not dressing up. The only interest I have in dressing up is to, you know, comply with the law. Otherwise, I just walk out there with boxer shorts and some Tefa sandals, to be perfectly honest. Like, yeah, what's going on? Maybe a Hawaiian shirt. But it's for her. What do you want? You want me to wear this ridiculous shirt? Sure, I'll wear this ridiculous shirt. I think she's got some better taste in fashion. You want my hair a certain way? Fine, put my hair a certain way. The glasses, these are reading glasses now because I'm getting old and blind. I didn't choose these frames. Babe, let's go. What do you want? And just a bit of advice, guys. If you got yourself a steady girl, wife or not, just let her pick out you. Just make her happy. It's not that. But if you're arguing, hey, when you put on the crotchless, pearl beaded, rhinestone things, which I highly recommend, not for you guys, talking for you women. And she's like, you picked the wrong girl. And since sex is so important to men, I know it's not important to you girls. I get that. I understand. It's not as highly ranked. I know it's important, but not as important to men. Guys, the lingerie, just article alone. Oh, my God. The quarrels. I mean, I give thee, I present to you the quarrelsome woman. Right off the bat. Hey, look at that. Take them to, you can't go to Fredericks of Hollywood. Well, they don't have them physically anymore. You can't go to Victoria's Secret, because that's all woke and plus size. But go to, I can't even say Yandy, I think it's Foxy Lingerie now is the one that doesn't have the plus size models right up front anyway. And then go there. It's like, hey, what do you think about that? Like, oh, or buy them that. Buy them the thing you exactly want them to wear. Like, here you go, I got you some cute. And if they're not giggly and, oh my God, oh, maybe a little bit like, oh my goodness, you're so bad. And then they're smiling and they hit you in the chest. You're so in. If they're like you showed them a skinned squirrel, you're like, they like my skinned squirrel. You know, and you're like, oh yeah, wrong girl. Not for you. Mm-mm. Because you do not want to be in this fucking bullshit. That's what this is. And the response, oh my God. No wonder she's a best-selling author. Convenient quote from God. I didn't know how that quote from, what was it, Paul, Ephesians, whatever it was. Like, what is that at? Really? I got some other Bible quotes you can use, but yeah, you're probably going to ignore those. You want to deal with this shit? I mean, and here's the other thing. Okay. Does it hurt me to wear these clothes? No. Do I look at it? Let me give you another example. Okay. Let's see the little nieces, right? They want to see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns, whatever movie that I don't want to see. Now, do I want to go see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns? No, I don't want to see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns. But, oh, my God, they their kids at school and their friend, they saw it on the internet. Oh, my God, Uncle Eric, can you take us to see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns? And you know what Uncle Aaron would do? Uncle Aaron would say, not, oh, all right, fine. I would, hey, you kids want to go see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns? And they'd be like, yeah, all right, let's go see Jimmy Canoe and the Two Farting Unicorns. And I would get in, we'd feed them full of sugar, we go get pastries, get them whatever they want. We go, I'd even get them the unicorn hat. You know, we all wear, I'd even get a unicorn hat. Do I want to wear the unicorn hat? No, I don't want to wear the unicorn hat. But you know what? It'll make two fucking girls very happy. And so for a slight price of pain or inconvenience, like I'm watching some ridiculous child plot of Jimmy Canoe and his two magic unicorns, and he has to canoe across whatever, the Pacific, but he can't do it without the help of the unicorns, and they come from Unicornucopia, whatever, I don't know. This isn't actually a script I have in mind. And they're excited, and they're all by, because in the end, you know what it's about? Because I love my little nieces, and I want them to be happy. And if you get any of the shit, now I can understand certain things that are painful or harmful, I get that. But if you're talking like, put on the cute little pink thing. There's no pain. There's no pins and needles. It doesn't hurt. But if you get this wrong girl. And you could say, but Aaron, they might not be psychologically comfortable, something in the past. You're right. 100%. It is what it is. Not the girl for you. I don't think the girl for anyone. Girls, I'll say it again. The Masons, which I'm not a part of, they have a rule that so-and-so is the leader, blah, 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 and you will follow his orders, because the Masons is a men's group, with jovial compliance. Jovial. Not reluctant, not... jovial compliance. And if she ain't, let's go. Not the girl for you. Not... Nope. Nobody, nope, 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 to the nope, to the nope, to the nope. I think, wait, isn't there a song? I thought there was a, doesn't it go something like, no, 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 oh, fuck no, oh, fuck no, oh, fuck no, oh, fuck no. Because then you get this shit. Guys. There are things worse than being single. It's married to a girl that you're negotiating sex with. You're negotiating. We argue all the time. Fuck no. No, no. New concept. Don't argue. You don't argue. I have that. We don't argue. There are words. They have meanings. We're intellectually on it. And whatever, the issues aren't, there's like not even a lot of emotion. It's just like, okay. Because we use the English language, right? Okay, cool. No emotion. Logic, words. Okay. We'll do it that way then. That's fine. But some is important as sex. I don't know, man. Just really, the lingerie test, it more, this article proved, I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of important sex, but you know, on a conceptual level, you understand. Yeah, sex is pretty important. But when I saw the amount of backlash, and oh yeah, Team Girl's gonna come out. Oh, how dare your husband demand you put on the French maid outfit? Like, I'm not arguing with the woman about putting on the French maid outfit. It should be you come home on a random Tuesday and she got it on and she's making you a little something. This used to happen in the olden days. In the olden days, times you come in and there she had, I remember a particular little red number one girl had on. She was making soup. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. And look, lady, there's nothing wrong if you don't like sex. There's nothing wrong if you don't like putting on the outfit. Just tell the guy that. And guys, now you know that's not the one for you. And there's no should. There is no should. There are only decisions. There are only choices. And if you're intellectually honest, the solution will present itself. You don't like sex. You don't like lingerie. For whatever reason, I'm not going to force it on you. We're done. If you're dumb enough to be married by that time without you just file for divorce, it's no, sex is non-negotiable. I don't care what the price is, and you go on. But for you youngin' boys out there who aren't already ruined your life like this, and for you girls, lingerie test, very important. Very important. Like, and you don't have to actually buy it. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you would. Because going out and shopping for it is one thing. When it comes time to actually put it on, that's another thing. Yeah, I think you do have to buy it. I think you have to, like, hey. Not like on the first date, by the way. I'm no dating expert, but I'm going to guess you probably shouldn't do that on the first date. But after a while, you think, eh, this might go somewhere. And go. You could pick them up cheap online. It's not that it's not a lot of material either. Like, hey, put this on.
What am I? Your slave?
There's the answer. You are free to go now, sir. You are free to go.
You just want one thing.
And don't you? And here's another. You should read this article. I dare say you can get this woman's book. Read what she's written. Notice how much fighting and resistance and tooth pulling there is. Like, oh, nothing is a boner killer more than negotiating and tooth pulling. Like, oh, no. No, man. No. 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 You are jovially compliant with sex. The guy says, put on whatever, the blue heels with the Playboy Playmate bunny ears. You got a choice. Dare I say, ladies, you have a choice. You can, you can shame them, in which case, well, there went your super fun, happy sex time. Or you could just like, ooh, he like the idea of being nice or doing something. Yeah. Self-sacrifice is almost too big of a, like, self-sacrifice. That's like dying on a beach so that your family might live. Somewhat selfless. Can't you just go see Jimmy Canoe and the Three Magic Unicorns? Farting unicorns. Can you just make the guy happy, or is it so painful? And what I love about this article, this is Christian conservative. Oh, where's the, again, not to slam them, but to kind of shoot one across the bow. Where's the Daily Wire gang on this with the resistance? And, oh my God, men want to have sex. Fighting over, well, I don't like it. Like, you're not, just put it on. Why? Your love for your husband should make you just, like, oh, I don't really think he's crazy, but you know what? I want him to be happy. You can see these guys. You'll see them. It's exceptionally rare. I think I have it down to 4 in 1,000. 4 in 1,000 men get that happy wife till death do you part. And I've watched the handful of couples I've seen, literally on one hand. And the wife was just smitten. She just, even if they were old, you could just see, they just look at their, like, look, oh my God. When these people go away, I'm going to jump on his bones, and he is just a cat's meow, and whatever he wants, I'm going to do. Not in a slave-like, obedient way, but she just likes the guy that much. And it's so rare. So rare. And God, I'll tell you, either get that or you go home. You either get that, you get this, none of that. No arguing. No issues or hang-ups with sex. Absolutely not. And, you know, you grow up, how do I find a guy? Well, get over your hang-ups. And if you don't like sex that much, that's fine, ladies. Just say so. And because it's not fun. You think it's fun for this lady here? Just go find some nerdy engineering major. Go find a modern-day soy boy who's, like, a little afraid of sex, okay? And then, oh, he gets the cop a feel under the sweater but over the bra, and that was your copulation on your honeymoon night. Just go do that. For those of you who are normal men, jovial compliance, jovial. Link below. Okay, the lady wrote 8 pages of, which, boy, what a wonderful! Could you imagine being married to this, huh? I have a little bit more of a clinical approach. Get the book of numbers, Analyzing the ROI and the Pursuit of Women. That was audited by an actuary, so you see just what your chances of success are before you just settle for some gal like, I don't like wearing heels. They make me uncomfortable. That's so hot when they complain. They do you the favor, then they complain about it. Like, there's a whole book to be written, but none of you girls are going to read it. Chapter 1, The Man. Have you met him? Another person that isn't you who also exists. Whoa, radical concept. Chapter 1, other people than me exist? Wait a minute. So there's the book of numbers, Analyze the ROI and the Pursuit of Women. Also, A World Without Men, an analysis of an all-female economy. Not exactly germane to this topic, but more number and data statistics of which you can observe both male and female behavior through the lens of economics. It's also telling. And then also germane to this, The Menu, Life Without the Opposite Sex. Guy, I maybe you would tolerate a marriage. Maybe, well, at least I got a girl. At least I'm not lonely. I'd rather be alone than have what this couple has. I'd rather be alone. I'm not compromising on sex. It's just not happening. But for the most part, you can see this in the books I told you about before. Women only have a fractional interest in that men do women. Also, they are forecasting just shy of half of women are not going to be married. It's not being married. Some might have kids. That was a misquote. I had the wrong information. They might have kids, but they're forecasting roughly half, just shy of half of women will not be married. That also means half of you men will not be married, though I think you're acutely aware of that as dating has gone on. And because of that, I came up with a book called The Menu, Life Without the Opposite Sex, because you might date, there will be the opposite sex, but you're probably not going to get married. So with half the population not getting married, you're going to say, well, what do I do in life? And that's what The Menu is. I get a lot of quotes, well, I really want a girl. I really want to get married and have a family. I'm like, well, that's cool. As all humans have since time immemorial, but today, we're in a very interesting spot in human history where half the population doesn't want that. They don't want you. So both of you got to figure out what to do in life without the opposite sex. And it's a very good and existential book. I think it's some of my more I won't say my finest writing. It's good writing, but I think it's a very practical book. Probably on par with Curse of the High IQ, where if you didn't know you were smart, you better figure it out and get an IQ test so you know exactly why you're in constant mental pain dealing with the normies. You're just kind of the same thing where it's like, hey, look, it's not 1940 anymore. Girls just aren't that interested. Ladies, you're going to be single. Men, you're going to be single. Y'all better figure out what to do and give your life meaning and purpose in life without the opposite sex, because it just ain't going to happen. So that's also linked below. I'd say you go have sex and have some sexy fun time lingerie. But we're so done with it. So done. Peace, contentment, and freedom. Dr. Paradox, $5, disagreed, lost argument about lingerie we had. Why can't I wear these heels in the shower? They will dry. It's okay, because I was thinking about safety. All right, Doc, you have a very – okay. Doc perfected. Like, everyone should aim for Doc. Why can't I wear these heels in the shower? They will dry. It's okay, because I was thinking about safety. I like – Doc, you're winning. You're winning. That's the right type of gal. You should have her write a book. I don't know how not to hate sex and enjoy life. I don't know. Whatever book they need. I stepped in San Francisco shit. $2. I found a big old DEI page on the Western Governors University website. Really? Okay. We got to rethink if there's, it's still better than going to a, like, okay, it's not as good as we thought it was, but it's still better going to a physical school. Cheaper too. Dr. Paradox, $2. CVS now offering jabs to help you hate lingerie. There might be something like that. There might be something like that. Where you, there was a, what the hell was it? I got to think about it. God darn it. What was it? wasn't that, oh, God darn it. I'll figure it out. Operation Evil. JJ Sedton, $5. Makeup sex is the worst thing in the world. Do anything you can to avoid that. And that usually means the gym. The American dream is in the gym. Yep. There's a new American dream, and it is not involving cooperation. Or the, it just isn't. I'm, you know, it just isn't. The American dream is now very, in a very traditional American sense, individualistic, but it's outside of community and it's outside of relationships. That cast in here, $10. Here's $10 for 10 years of life-enriching content. I bought all your books. Thanks. I watch most of your videos. You've been a positive inspiration in my life. Here's to another 10 years of truth, asshole. Got nothing else to do. If things had been different and traditional, Cappy might have just been a regular old analyst or economist, regular award cleaver, raising a couple sons, maybe a daughter or two with his standard wife, white picket fence, but it's not what happened, is it now? Which is a much more interesting life. There's always a big silver lining to the cloud. There's always balance. I mean, let's admit it. This is a way better life than being an economist, right? And man, was it pulling teeth just to get people to pay me to be an economist, and let alone heed what I said. You don't want that? Fine. I'm going to tell you all to fuck off and die, and you're all assholes. I'm going to expose you all for the pieces of shit that you are. Money, 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 money. Oh, this is much better. I can shade my charts whatever color I want. That guy died, by the way. The asshole, the banker that complained about, I don't like the shade of this chart. Fuck off. He's dead now. He never got to retire. Worked until he was dead. It was great. Couldn't happen to a more deserving piece of shit. The Human Society, $5. Enjoying your stream, sitting in my Houdang Diggly Jeep. My girl like it, though. She won't complain and question, just hops in and asks, where are we going? There is a lot, to simplify it, girls, if you just became like dogs, I know it sounds condescending, but I don't know. We're not the ones that are like fucking mainlining antidepressants here. The dog is something you could learn a lesson to or from. Like, oh, look, it's excited to go anytime. It's excited to see you. It's genuinely happy. I wouldn't say go play fetch with the ball. The dog of no real value loves playing ball. You know, do I like picking up the slobbery ball? Not particularly, no, but it gives me great joy to see the dog having great joy. Oh my God, I don't like giving blowjobs. Well, geez, I'm. But maybe with the joy your husband has, would that exceed the whatever pain of the chore giving a blowjob is? Well, I look, here's got it. Ladies, if you're incapable of selflessness, don't bother getting married. You're not capable of love. There you go. There you go. Guy's got to lay his life down to protect the family. If you can't be inconvenienced by sexual things that you find annoying or you don't like, oh, well, then you don't get married. Outcast of the, I'm also happy, just so you know, like long ago I left the church because I could. But this shit, look, it's already complicated male-female dynamics. You add the fucking Bible on top of it, and no one's following the rules or the traditions anymore. Get the fuck out of here. You know, John said obscure Bible quote, and you're like, how the hell does that have anything to do with, well, you see, if I put as much spin as a feminist tornado on it, you can see that you should shut the fuck up and get out of the way. Just go have a female convent with God. Just go become, go become a nun. Go become a nun. Outcast of the Make It People, 10 generous dollars at 5 foot, 468 pounds. Girl in lingerie is not appealing in the least. Yes, that's the average height and weight of women, though. Yeah, but you could see that. Go to any Victoria's Secrets, Fredericks of Hollywood. Unfortunately, Yandy was the best. Yandy had the sluttiest, skankiest lingerie. Oh, it was a good old time. Big old fat plus size model on the front page. That's my rule. I understand you're going to be overweight women and they want to wear lingerie. Maybe their husbands are overweight. They want their... Okay, there's a market for it. I don't want to see that on the front page. If I see that on the front page, I'm done. I'm gone. But, and I'd be curious. I've looked up the research before and it's inconclusive, but I'd be curious what percent of women are just buying lingerie for themselves, which negates the point. And then they come up, it's not all about... Yeah, okay, we've heard, we got the memo, we've been getting it for 50 years. We know, it's not about... We got it. We got... Dare you consider other people? You're the generation that drops off your kids at daycare because your career is more important than raising your kids, right? Just wanted to check. Just want to confirm. Only you exist. No one else exists. Why are you lonely? I don't know. Why are you doing antidepressants at 50? Could it be because you got no love? See, what I'm aiming for, and this goes in any human interaction. All human interaction is somewhat sacrificial. You got to invest your time in other people. When the nieces and the nephews grow up, they're going to say, boy, do you remember when Uncle Aaron took it? Blippi is the huge. They all want to see Blippi. Oh, my God, Blippi. If you don't know who Blippi is, go look up Blippi. Oh, my. I should, but you got to get them to come to Vegas. Oh, my God, Blippi. They love Blippi. Do you remember when Uncle Aaron took us to Blippi? Do you remember when we saw Jimmy Canoe and the three farting unicorns? Oh, my. And they'll be old. But I have a legacy. Compare that. I had this ex-wife who never gave blowjobs. It was a pain in the ass and a miserable existence. Who's happier? The little kid. Oh, man. Uncle Aaron got us ice cream and cake. And he just gave us love. And we went on stupid adventures and da-da-da-da-da.
My ex-husband expected me to give him a blowjob. Oh, my God.
Who's happier? Like, where a little bit of sacrificial love goes a long way. I don't like changing the car oil. I don't like working on the house. You do it, oh. I don't like sighting the guns. I don't like the fact I got to go out and shoot the bad guys if I need the guns. Actually, I kind of do look forward to that. I was just like, ooh. Knock, knock, pop, pop. Chase Robidoux, $5. I should write you about a theory I have in this particular sub. Please do, Chase. Please do. I'll have to charge you for it, but please do. Michigan expat, 10 generous dollars. Going to be like one of our sci-fi anime, men and women segregated from each other, and the whole plot line will be about them trying to meet again and figuring out how to get along again. MMMWGAA. What animes are you talking? I don't know about. Where were they separated? I know Robotech, the women were kind of at the command and they were like raid, like Lieutenant Uhura. And the men were out, Roy Fulker. And oh, there was a Zentradi gal, Mira or Mirana. She was on the Zentradi side. I'm trying to see where the men and women were separated and they couldn't get back together again. Watch the population drop, man. Watch the population drop, man. It's all sewed, man. This is going to be, it's going to be hilarious. I can't wait. I can't wait till, I won't say what group it is that hates the other group. I can't wait till the hateful group of a particular generation reaches my age. Like, man, my generation, watching them turn 50 is very interesting. I can't wait for the younger generation. Like, oh, you doubled down on hatred. I see. Oh, okay. All right, there you go. Link below. Book of Numbers, Analyzing the ROI and the Pursuit of Women. The Manual, Life Without the Opposite Sex. And A World Without Men, An Analysis of an All-Female Economy. That's where we're going. Where does this end up? Go read that book. We'll see you guys later, tools.